Well, it's been a while since I've been up here. It's feel kind of weird. So I hope that you'll have grace for me this morning if I stumble a little bit. It's always, I don't know, when you're used to preaching and then you come back and you've been away for a while, you sort of get the butterflies all over again. And so that's kind of where I am this morning. Well, this morning we are going to go and look into the whole idea of what we find in the parable of the Good Samaritan. And where we're going is this whole idea of who is my neighbor. You may have recognized before I left on holidays, I did some exterior decorating on the outside of the sanctuary. And put up some lettering because I figured, you know what? I need a reminder of what we're to be about. So I thought, hey, why not remind everybody? And so every time we walk into the church on a Sunday, we can see this is who we are and this is what we're about. And you may have noticed one of the things that I put that was put up there was be a good neighbor. Did you know that whole idea of being a good neighbor has eternal consequences? Eternal ramifications. Because we're going to find out this morning that being a good neighbor, it's a gateway to eternal life. And you're going, really? It's got salvific significance? Yeah, it does. Because we're going to read what Jesus said to the lawyer or the expert of the law who came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher or Rabbi, what must I do to be saved?" And he stood up. The story comes to us out of Luke, and it kind of comes out of like, okay, there was this guy, this teacher of the law that all of a sudden he stood up and he asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He wanted to test Jesus to see what he would say. And the answer that Jesus gives to him is what? What does he say? Well, he says to him, "What is written in the law?" As any good person would do, you answer with a question. Well, what does it say in the law? How do you read it? And the man answers in this way, as any good Jewish person who read the Torah would do from day one, especially if you knew the law. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind." Is that the end? No. "And love and your neighbor as well." Love your neighbor as yourself. What did Jesus say? He says, "You're correct. You go to the head of the class, very good." He says, "Do so and you will live." Think about that. Think about the consequences, the ramifications of that. Of all the scripture passages that Jesus could answer the expert of the law, Jesus affirms this answer. Love God with all your being and love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5:14 says something similar and it cuts it down and it says what? Love your neighbor and you will have life. That's the greatest commandment. So, in order to justify himself, because this keeper of the law, this lawyer, has kept the law, and you can see him walking to Jesus and sitting and listens to his answer and gives his answer, and then Jesus says, do it and you will live. And so he says, who is my neighbor? Because if you're sitting there and you're the fly on the wall listening to this conversation, you get this picture that the lawyer thinks, I've got it made. I've done that. I've looked after my neighbors. But has he really? Because Jesus then confronts and tells the story of the Good Samaritan. Maybe not everything is as it's supposed to be. Maybe he's not telling the whole story, because, yeah, Jesus confronts him and tells him the story of the Good Samaritan. Who is your neighbor? A lot of the times we talk about the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, and we gloss over that last part that says, love your neighbor as yourself. Maybe we go, well, we're supposed to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our passion, with all our being, and that's enough. But no, it's not. He says you need to love your neighbor as yourself. Interesting. And it becomes even more interesting when you realize that out of all the answers in the Bible, in the Torah that Jesus could have given, he chooses that one and emphasizes. And love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? Is it the person that's sitting beside you? You know, I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm not talking about your kids. I'm talking about that person that is right there next to you that you maybe didn't invite to sit beside you, but they're there. That maybe, you know what? You're not wearing the right perfume or cologne. I don't like that. Or the one that maybe has, you know, has that habit like I do when I'm sitting at home and I'm watching TV. I constantly move my foot. Drives my kids absolutely bonkers. You know, or that person that just, you know, let's get personal. Who is your neighbor in your neighborhood? I'm not talking about the one that's four houses down or five houses down or is across town. I'm talking about who is your neighbor right beside you. Do you know them? Do you know their name? It's going to be a challenge this morning because some of us don't know our neighbor's names. We're going, hey, how you doing? And they're going, hey, how you doing? Because you recognize them, but you have no clue what their names are. And if you ask their name at this point, when you've been around them for about 2 years now, it would be embarrassing. But you know, the truth is, they're as embarrassed as you are. Why? Because we're caught up in our life. We're caught up in doing what we're doing. What is of interest to us. What matters to us. Where our heart is. What is it? There our treasure will be. Is our neighbor our treasure? Now, I'm not talking about metaphorically here. I'm not talking about this whole idea of neighbor is a metaphorical thing. Where, you know, he's talking in generalities that, you know what, the person across town, yeah, they're our neighbor. I give to the church and and we take benevolent and we help the homeless, or we help those that need a place to sleep, or we help those that need things to eat. Or, you know what? That homeless guy that we passed, I gave him a couple of dollars. I'm being a good neighbor. I give to missions. I support our missionaries out on the field and the work that they're doing in connecting with people overseas that are living in their neighborhood. I'm being a good neighbor. No, Jesus' instruction here is more literal than that. Because the word neighbor means what? Close by. Nearby. It's your brother. It's your countryman. It's the Christian. It's the non-believer. It's that person right there. It's that neighbor. The one that plays the loud music and keeps you up until 3 a.m. It's the person that has the dog who incessantly barks every time it's outside because you're outside. It's the person that has the drug addiction. It's the person that uses the Lord's name in vain and drifts over the fence. It's the person that is divorced. It's the person that has the bad temper. You know, it's even that person that maybe is the biker. Who is your neighbor? And Jesus means literally right beside you. Do you know God? Do you love God? If you know God, you know Jesus. If you love God, you love Jesus. Because God gave his son Jesus to the world in order to reconcile man to God, because there was something that became broke in the relationship. And what became broke is man did not trust God. So man sinned. We decided to miss the mark intentionally. And to this day today, we miss the mark intentionally and unintentionally, and will so until Jesus returns. That is what sin is, missing the mark. Back in the garden, Adam and Eve missed the mark, and as a result, for all this time until Jesus returns, people will miss the mark, and we've inherited a curse. We live under a curse. Who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is the sinner. Your neighbor actually is also you, because your neighbor is looking at you, and you are their neighbor. Who is my neighbor? We can seek to justify ourselves just like the lawyer, where he's going, well, Jesus, who really is my neighbor? Do they fit into my economic class? Do they drive the same kind of car I do? Do they have the same interests I do? We don't quite match. We don't quite look the same. And you know what? We just don't fit. But you know what? Mr. Davies down the block there, oh, we get along really good. We drive the same car. We do the same things. Our kids play the same sports. You know what? They're my neighbor because we fit. My wife said something to me a couple of days ago that was like, you know, physical abuse, slap across the face. I'm going to get in trouble now. But she said this to me when I was whining. She said, you know what? God's not necessarily concerned about your comfort. He's concerned about whether you obey. True? True. I took that, and I took it, and said, yep, you're right. How does it apply to being a neighbor? God isn't necessarily interested if you're comfortable with them or not, if you get along with them or not, if they look the same, if they smell nice, or whatever it is. What he's interested in is their soul. And he's interested in whether you will obey and be a good neighbor and love them and care for them and show them compassion. Because Jesus, he finishes the story with the law keeper. He says, there was a man that was walking down the roads from Jericho in Jerusalem. And this area, if you know it, I mean, topography-wise, it was really rugged mountains. You know, it's a narrow passage. Perfect place for robbers to hang out and waylay somebody. And if somebody out of their right mind would travel at night by themselves, or even in the daytime by themselves on this road, they were taking chances. Because everybody knew this area was dangerous. Well, this man is walking down this place, this area, this path, and he gets waylaid by robbers. They take his stuff, they beat him up, and he's laying there. We don't know if he's going to die, but it's pretty bad. Well, you know what? He's an Israelite. People are walking past. A priest walks by. A descendant of Aaron, who works in the temple, teaching and sharing and preaching to the people of how they worship God and should live their life after God. He's a preacher. Well, the preacher sees this man laying there. And what does he do? He passes him by. Maybe the things going through his mind was, I'm late for the temple service. You know, I got more important things to do. I got to pray. I got to teach some of these kids about the law and how to love people and love God. I don't have time for him. Well, another man comes by a little bit later, and it's a Levite. He's not a priest, but he helps the priest. He knows the law. They're educated in the law. Does he stop? No. He keeps on walking by because he's probably chasing after the priest. That he's like, I'm late. He's going to get me. Whatever it is. But he passes by as well. And then Jesus says, there was a Samaritan who came along, saw this man laying there. Silence, I'm thinking. I'm thinking the Israelite, the man who knew the law, is going, oh, certainly the Samaritans are going to pass by because, you know, we hate the Samaritans. They hate us. They're half-breeds because they married into Gentiles when they were told by God that they shouldn't do that. They were not supposed to do that. And because that would make them impure and they weren't holy. So they're like the poor cousin, the black sheep of the family. We don't mix with them because they're impure. Well, he's going to walk right by. Jesus says, the Samaritan stopped, saw the man, picked him up, got him to a place that could take care of his needs, bandaged him, said, I will take care of, you know, I'll give you money and you can put him up and do whatever you need to do in order to bring him back to health. And when I pass by, if there's any more cost, I'll take care of that bill too. What do you think happened at that point in the conversation? Silence. I'm willing to bet. What was Jesus' point? He's answering the question, who is my neighbor? And he says to him, who do you think was a neighbor to this man? And I'm thinking the keeper of the law, he couldn't say the word Samaritan. He says, the one that showed mercy to this man. Are we willing to show mercy to our neighbors? Are we willing to show grace to our neighbors? Do you remember what the definition of grace is? Unmerited favor. Are you a giver of grace, a giver of unmerited favor? Because God says, I've made all men. They're my creation. I've made them in my image. And I love them. Even though some may do evil, some may be good and some may be bad, but I care for each one of them. And you know what? I've blessed each one. That's grace. That's unmerited favor. And I know we get our shirts in a knot because we look at the world and we go, those people don't know Jesus, but yet look at the blessings that they have. Look at the evil that they do, but yet they're blessed. That's not fair. Right? Well, what does God say? He says, you have heard. When you look in the book of Matthew, in about Matthew 22, there's a bunch of corrections that Jesus makes. Because people have been taught certain things from the Torah, supposedly. And this is one of them. He says, you may have heard that it was said to love your neighbor and to what? Hate your enemy. And he says what? He says, but I say to you, what? Love your enemy. Love your enemy. So Jesus is throwing, he's turning everything upside down. He's going, you guys have misinterpreted this because nowhere ever at any time has God the Father ever said, hate your enemy. Hate the people who do evil. Can you see that? Do you read that in Scripture anywhere? No. He says, hate the sin, but what? Not the sinner. Love the sinner. Because where? Where did we come from? We came from sin. We are of the creation of God, who we believe in God, accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and what he did for our life. He died for us. He died for our sin to glorify the Father. And we're saved. Saved from sin and death of missing the mark. We all miss the mark. And you know what? That neighbor that drives you crazy, you probably drive him crazy. And he's going, hypocrite. Right? Sure it is. But you're going, well, you don't see the hypocrisy that, you know, our famous answer is, well, welcome to the church. What's one more hypocrite? Hey, this is all about God's grace, his unmerited favor. And it strikes us as being unfair because we think we know what fairness is. If we were God, this is what we would do. There's a good reason why we're not God, because look at the world today. So who is your neighbor? Do you justify who your neighbor is? If we're busy justifying who our neighbor is, then the world will never be reached. Because there's always somebody, someone that'll drive you nuts, that doesn't match your standard. Well, you know what, guys? It's not about your standard. It's about God's standard, isn't it? It is. My neighbor next door, we had our men's evening at my house about a year back. And John, bless John, he was a good guy. Everybody came to the house, and some guys, you know, forgot that I had said park in the roadway out on the road, not in the crescent, because I don't have a whole lot of room. Well, guys started parking in the crescent, in my parking pad. It's got room for four cars. I think we started making room for eight. And John came out, and he was mad. He was upset. And so we, you know, we took care of business and moved stuff and just calmed John down. And I thought for sure, relationship's done. He doesn't want to talk to me. We, you know, didn't talk for a while, probably at least a month. And then one day John was out there, and I came over to him and I said, John, I just want to apologize for what happened, you know, a month ago. And he said, Shannon, don't worry about it. He said, no big deal. He goes, I was looking out for my neighbors. And I'm going, no, you weren't. You were annoyed. And so I said, John, you know what? This happened, and I'm really sorry about that. And he said, not a big deal. And so, you know, everything was good. I helped him with a few things and that. And John used to play with John Lennon in the Beatles before they were the Beatles. So we had coffee a couple of different times and that sort of thing. And he went away for holidays, him and his wife, go down to Oregon. And this past winter and spring, as John was down in Oregon, had some health problems. And they didn't figure he was going to make it. He made it to Edmonton. He was in the hospital and passed away. See, the thing about being a good neighbor, it's not about your comfort, it's about your obedience. Because what matters to God is those that are lost. Those souls that don't know Him yet. And He has the best way. You know, if you want to talk about evangelism, He says this is the best way to do it. He says, be a neighbor. Be a good neighbor. Reach out to those around you. He says, get to know them. Care for them. Love them. I don't care if they're a Samaritan. I don't care if they're a drug addict. I don't care if they live a totally immoral lifestyle. He goes, you are the reason. You are the person. You are the person I've given talents and abilities and passion for. In the place you are, for whose reason? His reason. You are the person you are in the place you are for God's reason. So you know what? Missions are great and they're awesome, and we promote it because, yeah, we want the whole world to know that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Savior. But if we're not doing it in our own home, in our own neighborhood, right next to us, what good is that? Be a neighbor. Jesus said this, it's simple. And it's of the utmost importance because that's the one thing I pulled out and said to the teacher of the law, be a neighbor. And he says, it leads to eternal life. Because if you understand how God loves you and what He did for you, it becomes an imperative in your life. It becomes a passion that overflows that you want to share with somebody else. And that somebody else should be the neighbor right next to you that you share with. that you live life with. And you know what? You're not wanting to be a good neighbor so that you can proselytize them and put another bullet in your belt. You're being a good neighbor because God simply said, be a neighbor. Love people. Care for them. And you know what? If you do, wait for it. You're going to get a chance, an opportunity, possibly. Probably. Most likely. Well, how do I do that? See this sheet? It's in your bulletin. Pull it out, please. Haha, I got homework for you this week. It simply says on it, who is my neighbor? You see that little house in the middle? Well, what's it say? You are here. This is you. And you see these squares around it? It's not bingo. But these are your neighbors. And you know what? I don't care if it's not anatomically correct that your street doesn't look like that. But you have people that live around you, right? Do you know them? Do you know who they are? First thing, if I'm going to be a good neighbor, you need to do what? Know who they are. What's their names? Here's the challenge, everybody. We're going to do things God's way. I want you to get to know who your neighbor's names are. I want you to get to know who they are. I want you to fill that in. There's nine spaces there, eight spaces. Fill that in. Get to know who they are. Because I tell you, the greatest thing about getting to know somebody is you give them value. You say to them, you are valuable. Because you know what? Everybody simply wants in life is people to know them. What's my name? How many of you remember the show Cheers? What's the theme? What's the motto of theme or the song and the theme of the show Cheers? Where everybody knows your name. That's profound. That's biblical. People just want to know and belong where everybody knows your name. Right? God knows your name. He knows everything about you. He knows the amount of hair on your head. He knows everything. That's kind of scary. But he does. But how can you be a good neighbor without knowing who your neighbors are? Okay? So you're going to write down their names. And then the second thing I'm going to challenge you to do is to write down a little bit of information about them. And it's not the stuff that you can necessarily observe. Oh, they drive a yellow car. You know what? Everybody can see that. Maybe they drive a Eurosport. Hey. But those things that you might not necessarily know from observing them, it's like, well, you know what? Jeff works at NAV Canada. Okay, that's a barometer for me. I know a little bit about Jeff. Okay? The third one is going to be this. Is go a little bit deeper. And I simply want you to work through that. Is three things. Know their name. Children's names, wife's name. Find out a little bit about them. What's that going to involve? Conversation. You're going to be talking to them. And it may be just over the fence, right? Oh, what kind of lawnmower is that you have? Toro. Oh, okay. Write that down. He does his lawn on Saturdays. You know what? Maybe one day he'll be or in the garage. And you know what? Because you want to be a good neighbor, you're going to see his garage door open. And maybe the hood on his car is open. You have no idea what about mechanics on cars, but hey, you're going to go over, hey, what you doing? Can I give you a hand? Once he knows you, he'll say no. But you get the gist. Maybe, you know what, you run out of flour instead of sending the kid to the store to get some flour, get some sugar. Hey, I'm going to go over to my neighbors and ask them for a cup of sugar. Wow, that's old practice, isn't it? That's like back in the 70s and 80s, even earlier. But you know what we're missing? Missing community, neighboring, connection. Leduc has grown by the number of 10,000 people, 15,000 people in 10 years. And you know what? One of the mayor's key things is, I haven't talked to the mayor, but one of the things that a group of pastors, they were down in Denver, and they went to their mayor of their city and they said, how can we help you as a church community, as a bunch of ministers? How can we help you? And you know what he said? He said, be a good neighbor. And they said, let's process that. What's he saying? Do what you're already supposed to be doing. Be a good neighbor. Love one another. This is a step to loving God, loving your neighbor, and making a community in Leduc. This is God's way of doing it. It's relationship. And you know what? For some of you, I understand this completely because I'm an introvert by heart. How come we're always picking on the introverts? Because we like being together but alone. This is so nice to be together, but we're doing our own thing. Our extroverts, they're right there. Hey, this is great. This is awesome. But we can sort of like do the verbal diarrhea on somebody, and then they don't want to be part of us either that way. But you know, this is just simply taking that step of getting to know your neighbor, doing what's natural. Because people want community. People want to be known by each other. And by doing that, we're fulfilling the great commandment. And won't you be surprised as to where the Lord will take you? I guarantee it. Amen? Amen.